Have your Bibles this morning. Turn with me in John chapter 3. Very common passage of scripture, but I don't know that I've ever done an actual sermon on this. We talk about this a lot. We bring this up a lot, but I wanted us to look at it this morning. Salvation is very important. Salvation determines where you spend eternity. It doesn't matter what we believe if we don't believe what we're told to believe. You see, we have allowed religion, we've allowed people to tell us that it's what you believe about God is what's important, and you live your life how you believe about God, where God wrote this to tell us what we're supposed to believe. And if you don't believe what God told you to believe, then you're going to believe in vain. And if you miss Sunday school, you'll understand what I'm talking about. There's a time where he says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." That does happen. That is the God of Scripture. He's a man of his word. He can't lie. That's the one thing that God can't do, is he cannot lie, according to Scripture. It says, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews." So very prominent guy. He was also a teacher. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, and the reason he came by night, because he was embarrassed. God was working upon his life, and he came to Jesus to ask him a very important question. And here he is, a teacher, teaching other people, and yet he has no clue about the kingdom of God. There are so many people out there that are teaching about Jesus and have not a clue about the kingdom of God, because they have gone off what the Holy Spirit wrote. They've gone off of truth, and they've made it palatable to man. And this is not palatable, man. It's saving for man, and there's a big difference. It's not something that I have to like for me to come to it. It's something that God brings me to, and then I either accept it or I reject it. It's very that simple. So this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God." So again, he says, "I know that as a teacher." Oh, wait a minute, he's mistaken, right? Now here's a gentleman that knows Scripture forward and backwards. He knows the Old Testament, and the Messiah stands right before him, and he calls him a teacher, not Lord and Savior. He's not on his knees bowing down to him and showing the holiness of God. He just addresses him as a teacher. So what this means is that you can be in Scripture and you can have a relationship of what you think and knowing about Jesus Christ and not know who he is. Okay? And that's the tragedy of religion a lot of times. It tells us a lot about him, but doesn't lead to knowing him. You got to know him, and even more important than that, he has to know you. He says in Matthew 7, "If I don't know you, then you'll depart from me." So here we have this teacher, and Jesus calls him out on it. "Rabbi, you know you come from God as a teacher, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Even our Sunday school lesson, they talked about a little bit this, about, you know, Jesus, you got to enter by the gate, the narrow road. He's the door. But never one time in the Sunday school lesson did it say, and I hope our teachers, the other teachers, brought this out, you got to be born again. If going through that narrow road doesn't lead to a born-again experience, then it doesn't matter what you believe about Jesus Christ. You have to be, Jesus is his own words, you have to be born again. We are born dead in our trespasses of sin. We are spiritually dead. God is spirit, you must worship in spirit. The natural man cannot understand spiritual things. So unless there's a new birth experience, unless there's a change in nature, you're born enemies of God. You're born with a wicked heart. Flesh can only beget flesh. First comes the flesh, then comes the spirit. So understand that what he's telling him here is something that he's never heard before. It's new to him. It's amazing how new it is today as well. People aren't hearing this. People aren't being told that there has to be a change in your nature, that God gives you a new nature. Now, he doesn't take the old nature away, but he uses the power of God through the Holy Spirit when he seals you with the Holy Spirit to then battle the flesh. There must be a battle. If there's not a battle in your life, if there's not difficulties in this walk, I'm concerned. Because everything I can read in here, even as Paul writes, I don't know why I do the things that I don't want to do, and I do the things that I don't want to do. I mean, I don't know who's going to help me here. And then he remembers the blessing and the grace and the mercy and the gift that God gave through his son, Jesus Christ, that he would help him through these things. But if you're not born again, it says very clearly you're not going to see the kingdom of God. If you don't humble yourselves as a child and believe just God, what he says on his word, without being explained to you, no explanation needed, you will not see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, I mean, and this is the only thing, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? I mean, this is just unheard of. Because he's thinking, well, how's he thinking? In the natural. The natural man thinks in the natural. The religious man thinks in the natural. That's all he can do. He can't understand spiritual things. It says even if he wants to, he can't understand them. Nicodemus is in the flesh. Nicodemus cannot even begin to understand who's in front of him and speaking to him, because it has not been granted yet to him by the Father. No one comes to the Father unless it's granted by the Father. It has to be granted to us. Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So that water is that natural birth that we have. In other words, this isn't for angels. You notice that's why he put that in there, because this is not for angels. Do not get to experience this love of God that we get to experience. That love that accounts into no wrong, that account that says that I'm going to do something for mankind that they cannot do for themselves. I'm going to send myself in the form of my son. He will pay the penalty of sin. He'll be that last and only sacrifice that's needed by mankind to be able to come to me. Jesus says, if I am lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. See, the Word of God speaks to us very clearly. He is speaking to us through His Word. He spoke through His Son, Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ was taken up, then the Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit caused the disciples to pen this, and all the men that wrote of this. There's only one author. I love how they if you look in your Bibles, and they'll say, well, we think this was written by this guy. There's no proof that it was written by Luke, but everything points to that it might be Luke that wrote this. You know who wrote this? The Holy Spirit wrote this. Why do we dabble over those things that don't matter? Why don't we look at what's written instead of wondering who wrote it or when they wrote it? What good does that do you to know that? But you better know the truths that are written in the Scripture. You better take heed to who wrote this, and God left this. Why? So that we would know. So that we would know. He goes on to say that that which is born of flesh is flesh. That's all it can be. You cannot raise children of God. You can raise Christians. And we learned a few Sundays ago that Christianity is not salvation. Being a Christian is just a follower of God's, of Jesus' teachings. That's all a Christian is. That's all it can be. It's nothing but that. The name was given to the followers of Christ. Instead of calling them disciples, they called them Christians. They first called them Christians at Antioch. It was a derogatory term. Christianity is not a child of God. You can have all the Christian stuff that you want, and you can be lost and go to hell. You see, it's the born-again experience that only sets us apart from all this religion. It's a relationship. You can only be related to God if that born-again experience happens and He becomes your spiritual father. You are born spiritually dead in your trespasses of sin, and He quickens us to life. And all that was done through the work of what Jesus Christ did upon the cross. You see, we have allowed religion to put all of this into a different perspective. He's very clear to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And if you're not born again, you're going to die and go to hell. And your born again experience is sealed by the Holy Spirit that comes to live within you. So you don't have to question whether I'm a child of God or not, because the presence of God is in you. Not based upon what you do. It's based on who you are. Religion is always talking about you doing something for God. When the relationship says, I'm going to do something for you, you're going to be my workmanship. I'm going to perfect you. I'm going to put my spirit in you. I'm going to put my desire in you. And if you ever try to work that out in the flesh, you're going to fall and fail and stumble. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He says, don't be amazed that I said you got to be born again. He said, the wind blows where it wishes. You hear it. You hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. You see, man tries to write books on, you say a prayer, you get baptized, you're a child of God, you're welcome to the kingdom of God. That's not what he just said. He said, during this whole process of discipleship, this whole process of being a Christian, somewhere along the line, that you get saved. There's no particular time or moment or point that you get to determine this, but it's determined only by God. See, we try to tell everybody, well, here you are, and this is what has happened in our world, and this is why we have all the mess in the world that we have, is because we've told people that, okay, come up here, say a prayer, come up here before the church, we dunk you in some water, and guess what? Welcome to the kingdom of God. No, you are a disciple. And through being taught by God, it says only those that are taught by God come to the saving knowledge of who He is. So you begin to pick up the Word of God, and you listen to what the Scriptures say, not some preacher. There's most preachers have got it wrong. As you notice, I don't title my messages. You know why? Because they're not mine. My purpose and responsibility is to proclaim the Word of God. Not to make up stories and fancy little sermons and innuendos and jokes. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm here to tell you what God's Word says because it's that important. Because our world has been so deceived by religion. And that's why He says there's only few that shall enter the kingdom of God. Because when you're banking on anything other than that relationship, you're banking on anything other than the Spirit of God moving in your life, giving you this new birth, and then sealing you with the promise of God, than you don't have. If his spirit is not bearing witness with your spirit that you're a child of God, then you're not. If you're having to look at what you're doing to satisfy that yearning and longing in you, to say, wow, now I'm a child of God because I go on mission trips. I go to Habitat for Humanity. I go to the food bank. I'm doing all these beautiful, nice, wonderful things. That's great. I'm glad you're doing all those things. But apart from being a child of God, it's in vain. You've got to be born again. And only God can do that. The disciples asked him. A young rich ruler came and, you know, said, you know, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus told him all these things to do, and he told him to go sell everything he owned and come back. And this was obviously a good man. And the disciple said, well, if this man can't be saved, then who can be saved? And he said, it's impossible with man, but it's possible with God. And this is how this happens. We always want to try to define everything of God. There's a lot of things in here that we don't know. Matter of fact, the more that he allows me to know, the more he reveals to me, the more I realize that this is bigger than anything we can imagine. We know so little. There's a lot more we don't know about God than what we do know about him. But he showed us what we needed to know. But see, we always want to look in and explain those things that are unexplainable. We want to make it tangible. Things that are not tangible. The things of God are not tangible. They're spirit. He goes on to say, Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Wait a minute, what are you talking about? I can't see this. I can't touch this. I don't understand what you're saying. Because you can't understand what I'm saying. God has not granted you to understand what I'm saying. He goes, and Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and don't understand these things? See, that's why the scriptures say, don't be quick to be a teacher. You don't want to be a teacher unless you're called to be a teacher and have to be a teacher, okay? See, we if somebody's breathing, we just put them in place, right? Huh? And the reason people will accept that because they think they're doing something for God. So they'll go in and teach, and they think that somehow that merits a favor with God by teaching. It's an incredible responsibility, and if you don't get it right and you don't understand it, you're in trouble. And God's going to hold you accountable for all those lives that you've misled. You're not teaching truth and you're teaching lies in your class because you're not accepting in your own life the truths of God, things that you can't explain and understand. And you're telling other people lies and you're speculating on how they felt. You're speculating on what went on, even though God didn't say it. Then you're in trouble. You do not want to be a teacher. Didn't even want to be a pastor. But when God calls you to be a pastor, then he gives you the heart to be a pastor, evangelism, or teacher. Because you have to say the hard things that people don't want to hear. You have to be okay with people not coming back when they visit because they hear truth. You have to be okay with that because you're responsible for sharing this truth. You don't just make your Sunday school classes so people will come and enjoy them. You make sure you share your responsibility as a teacher is to equip the saints. You're not a saint till you're born again. You're a sinner until you become a saint. And then when you become a saint, you're no longer a sinner. We talked about it in Sunday school, didn't we, a little bit? Well, you missed Sunday school. You missed an incredible Sunday school. Sunday school is important. Did you know that? You know why Sunday school is important? Because the church is building up together. We're all learning the same lesson together. God is using the Holy Spirit to bind us into one accord so we have one message. And that's the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, the true gospel, not this fake gospel that's out there. Sunday school is very important. You need it. If we come to the point in our life that we think that we don't need to read the scriptures daily, when Jesus tells us in his teaching, you must deny yourself daily, you must take up your cross and come and follow me, you must put on the armor of God daily. So when Satan is putting these arrows, he didn't say if Satan's going to put these flaming arrows at you. He says, but when he does, then you might be able to distinguish them. You see, our world has got all this wrong. The religious world has got all this wrong. Just like Nicodemus, he was part of that religious world. And he was teaching Israel wrong. He didn't understand the truth of behind what all the Old Testament. And he had no excuse because it was all written in the Old Testament. But his heart was wrong. You're a teacher. You don't even know these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen, and you're not accepting our testimony. I only hear from heaven. I've been there. You see, I descended from heaven. I know. I've seen it. I've sat with the Father. As a matter of fact, I was here when the world was created. The world was created for me. And yet, you don't believe what I'm telling you. I've seen these things. I'm a witness to these things. And yet, you don't believe me. You don't accept them. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Here's the Son of God standing before the teacher of Israel trying to teach him truth. No one has ascended into heaven. No one has ascended into heaven but he who has descended from heaven. Got that? There is no one that has ever come from heaven before. Except the Son of Man. Except Jesus Christ. He took on the form of man. Why? So he could be that unblemished sacrifice for me and you. He was put on that cross not so that we go to heaven. It says, he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God. It's a lot different than going to heaven and being right with God. Tremendous difference. See, our world is seeking saving their neck. If you're not willing to be the righteousness of God in the flesh through that born-again experience, you'll have no place in heaven. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. You see, we don't make a doctrine of belief. It's your belief that determines your actions, and then it's your actions that you apply scripture to your life on how this works, so that the resulting fact is that you become born again. One of the greatest evidence, other than the Spirit bearing witness with your spirit that you're born again, and the fruits of the Spirit growing in your life, is the fact that you can't get in here to worship. See, if you don't have a desire to worship with God's people, if worship is just a thing that you just come and just you're a spectator and not a participant, then you may not have this new birth experience that we're talking about. Worship must become so important in your life that you won't let anything interrupt it. You're supposed to come prepared to worship. That's why we have that little meditation before the service starts. It's not just a cult. It's not just something that we do to kill time. But it's so that each and every one of you have a moment to prepare your hearts to worship. Because my fear is that some of y'all did not prepare to worship. Some of y'all didn't read your Sunday school lesson. And yet you want to be spoon-fed. I don't understand a child of God wanting to remain in that infant stage. In my mind, I can't understand that you continually want to be spoon-fed, that you're not willing to dive in as God says you must do and allow Him to teach you. But He's not going to teach you apart from the Word of God. He will not do that. He's just not going to do it. Oh, He'll teach you in life, and then life will drag you back to the Scriptures, maybe. This is so important. I'm not going to get to these other passages of Scriptures, but maybe next week if God allows, but if you look in 1 Peter, it says, I'm not going to turn right now, but it says, you're allowed to be born again. And then turn the page. You're allowed to be born again. This born again thing is not just something that someone's making a doctrine out of. It is the truth of God. It's not just something that we pull out of our hat, but it's the miracle. Religion has taken the miracle out of the new birth. It's put the responsibility on you. All you got to do is believe hard enough. All you got to do is come up here and say a prayer. All you got to do is get baptized. All you got to do is now try to live a good life. It's wrong. It's wrong. And that's what you've been taught your whole life. That's what I was taught my whole life. It's wrong. Get the Word of God out and challenge me. Please. Do not believe a word I've said up here today. Again, I've told you guys that these sermons are on our website. How many of you all have done what I've asked you to do? I don't ask you to do a whole lot. You know, I could ask you to give money and you'll give money because it's easy to do. But I've asked you to sit down in your quiet time and listen to these sermons again at home by yourself. And ask God to speak to you. Not only for that, but also to make sure I'm telling you truth. That you use your Bible, you have your Scriptures out, you're going through there, and you're asking the Holy Spirit, is this dude a nut? Or does he know what he's talking about? And I only know what I'm talking about because this is what He's revealed to me and what He showed me in my life. I'm just a witness. How can you believe me if you don't believe earthly things I tell you? How are you going to believe the spiritual things I tell you? You got to make sure you back it up in Scripture. What you believe in your life, make sure that it comes from Scripture. And not something that some man gave you, some preacher gave you, some religion gave you, some doctrine gave you, some denomination gave you. But make sure it came from the truth of God.